Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Memory lapses are common at all ages. They seem to peak during adolescence and menopause. But as we age, memory glitches can become more frequent and more serious. And over time, if we don't have access to good food, good air, good health care, the brain function will degrade and our memory will become impaired. Right now, about 4% of Americans are diagnosed with dementia, Alzheimer's, and memory loss. That's disproportionately true if you're not white, not rich. And in the next 5 years, by 2030, one out of three Americans over 70, mostly poor, will die as a direct result of impaired memory, dementia, and brain dysfunctions like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. I cherish my memory. I'm nearly 80, and it's as good as ever. I want to keep it that way. I don't want to be like my dad in his 80s. He couldn't remember from day to day where he was. So join me as I learn and share the lore and science of nootropics, substances that promote strong memory, foods that feed the brain, herbs for keeping sharp, supplements for remembering, drugs against dementia. We'll discover the simplest, safest, and most effective strategies for nourishing our memories. Yes, we can all protect ourselves and our brains without drugs and without expensive supplements. Green Blessings have been used to maintain and regain freedom from dementia for thousands of years. Ancient wisdom for modern times, right here at HealthyLife.net. What's in the news? Four food rules to prioritize if you want to protect your brain. Number one, drink alcohol only occasionally. Number two, cut down on sugar and ultra-processed foods. Number three, eat at least 30 plants a week. And number four, eat plenty of nuts and fish. Very good, simple advice for keeping yourself sharp. One recent study conducted with older adults found that aerobic exercise improved cerebral blood flow and cognitive performance. Other studies have shown that walking regularly leads to improvements in memory and cognitive function, especially in older adults. There's even evidence that greater amounts of walking are associated with greater gray matter volume, which is one measure of brain health, and a reduced risk of cognitive impairment. If you walk 4,000 steps a day, you'll reduce your risk of dementia by 25%. Walk 9,000 steps a day, you'll cut your risk of dementia in half. Walk 10,000 steps a day at a brisk pace, about 3 miles an hour. It's about what I walk with my friend. We have to, you know, go slower as we go uphill, so we can make it up when we come downhill. So we can still talk at that rate. And you'll get 62% less likelihood of being diagnosed with dementia. Okay, take your brain for a walk. And a paper in Neurology found that a population of over 70,000 adults simply replacing 10% of the ultra-processed food in their diet with an equivalent by weight portion of unprocessed food lower the risk of dementia by 20%. of about 2,000 older adults found that compared to sleeping 7 to 8 hours a night, sleeping fewer than 5 hours a night was associated with a twofold greater risk for dementia, and that routinely taking 30 minutes or longer to fall asleep was associated with a 45% greater risk of dementia. A new study really focused in on meat. Is meat okay for your memory? Yeah, it turns out that meat is fine for your memory, but processed meat is not. People who eat processed meat have a 13% higher risk of dementia and cognitive decline. We're talking bacon, ham, hot dog, sausage, salami, pate, jerky, and all deli meats, including chicken, turkey, and roast beef. You swap out one serving of processed red meat for nuts or legumes, and you're going to reduce your risk of dementia by 19%, and then you go for a walk. Wow, we're going to stay cognitively sharp for a long, long time. The British medical journal, The Lancet, says about 45% of all cases of dementia are probably preventable by addressing 14 modifiable risk factors. Whoa, that's pretty good news. Those 14 risk factors include education, isolation, air pollution, brain injury, hearing loss, depression, high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, inactivity, smoking, alcohol, uncorrected vision loss, high cholesterol. We'll get back at the end of the show to this study because it's a very important one. I'll be right back with some really good news about our friend coffee.
Take a correspondence course with Susan Weed. You'll get individualized attention for your needs, questions, and health problems. The courses come with books, audio, and videotapes, and there's no time limit on finishing. No tests and no lessons to return. Act now and get a 50% discount on any 3 days of classes and workshops with Susan. You'll also receive a ready-to-frame certificate. Check out her courses online at ashtreepublishing.com. That's ashtreepublishing.com.
Where can you get more than 700 pages of information? At Susan Weed's website, susanweed.com. There's free monthly e-zines, a weblog, chat room, and email groups. There's even special sections devoted to menopause, breast health, and childbearing. Check out the forum of wise women who will help answer your herb and health questions. susanweed.com. Check it out. That's SusanWeed.com.
Spend a day with Susan Weed at your house or hers. Bring up to 4 friends and enjoy the day of your dreams. Experience a private weed walk. Learn about wild foods. Harvest and prepare herbal medicine. Try out a shamanic journey. Get a private consultation. Get a review of your health and nutrition. Discover how to regain and maintain optimum health with herbs. Create your perfect day with Susan Weed. For information, log on at ashtreepublishing.com. That's ashtreepublishing.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Is coffee good for your memory? Coffee. Cassia, a genus of flowering plants in the Galium or madder family, the Rubiaceae, which includes our friend clevers. There's about 130 species of Cassia, the two most popular being Cassia arabica, which accounts for about 80% of the world's coffee production. It's got a sweeter taste. It's Cassia canephora, which is known as Robusta, which is about the other 20-25%. It has a higher caffeine content. When grown, the coffee becomes a vigorous bush or small tree that can get up to 10 to 12 feet tall. It grows best at high elevations, but cannot take freezing temperature at all. 3 to 5 years after you plant the seed, you've got a tree that's going to start flowering, and the flowers have a gorgeous scent, and it will continue to produce coffee beans for 50 to 60 years, although there's a few coffee trees that are 100 years old. It takes 9 months from the time the flower falls off until the coffee bean is ripe and ready to pick. And then it goes through quite the process. If you want to know more about that, check out my course at wisewomanschool.com, Treasures of the Tropics, where I'm actually at a organic coffee farm in Costa Rica. It turns out that caffeine in the coffee is not just in the beans, it's in the whole plant, it's in the flowers and the leaves, because it's an insect repellent and a pollinator attractant. Honeybees turn out to just love the smell and probably the taste of caffeine. All right. Chronic caffeine consumption prevents memory disturbance. This is from the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease, and it says caffeine, the most widely consumed psychoactive drug in the world, enhances attention, vigilance, stabilizes mood, and might independently enhance cognitive performance. Notably, caffeine displays clearer and more robust beneficial effects on memory performance when memory is perturbed by stressful or noxious stimuli. Caffeine restores memory performance in sleep-deprived and aged humans. Likewise, in Alzheimer's disease, caffeine alleviates memory dysfunction. It also affords beneficial effects in conditions that will impair your memory, like Parkinson's, chronic stress, type 2 diabetes, ADHD, early life convulsions, alcohol-induced amnesia. Thus, caffeine should not be viewed as a cognitive enhancer, but as a cognitive normalizer. Right. Caffeine can improve your attention and boost your short-term and your long-term memory. Let's see. An 8-ounce cup of coffee has been shown to improve attention and short-term memory. A dose of caffeine after studying will boost long-term memory. Caffeine enhances pattern separation, which is the process of making difficult discriminations. Participants who take a 200-milligram caffeine tablet perform better on memory tests. Caffeine enhances certain memories for up to 24 hours after you drink the coffee. A Johns Hopkins University study found caffeine to enhance long-term memory. A neuropsychological study found that coffee consumption improves performance. But caffeine seems to have both positive and negative effects on memory, depending on which aspect of memory you're looking at and how much coffee you usually drink and a host of other factors. Any caffeinated drink, whether it's black tea, green tea, coffee, mate, but not chocolate, will probably improve cognitive function and slow cognitive decline. But there's a lot of fine detail here, and we're going to get into some of it. If we use I want to talk about the huge number of studies out there before we actually get into the studies. It was pretty amazing how much coffee has been studied. The conclusions that they've come to. Caffeine enhances memory performance in young adults. Young adults who drink caffeinated coffee show a 30% benefit in recall compared to those who drank decaffeinated coffee. 2023 study, acute caffeine intake found to increase working memory and brain activity in healthy adults. Lifelong coffee consumption has been associated with prevention of cognitive decline and reduced risk of developing stroke and Parkinson's disease. An August study, 2024, suggests that moderate coffee intake improves attention, processing speed, decision-making, and executive function. Most studies, 3 out of 5, support coffee's favorable effects against cognitive decline and dementia. Higher coffee consumption is associated with slower cognitive decline and less B amyloid plaque accumulation. Caffeine displays clearer and more robust beneficial effects on memory performance when there is a stressful event. And caffeine has a facilitatory effect on memory in some situations and inhibitory effect in other situations, because drinking coffee is also a social event. So we have to think about those social factors as well. Midlife coffee and tea drinking and the risk of late life dementia. What an interesting study. Caffeine and coffee as therapeutics against Alzheimer's. Caffeine, diabetes, cognition, and dementia. Coffee, tea, caffeine, and late life cognitive decline prevention. A systematic review. Just a huge amount of material out there. So Wikipedia did wonderful job of bringing it all together, so I did not have to go and read all of those hundreds and hundreds of studies. Wikipedia, effect of caffeine on memory, short-term memory. The effect of caffeine on short-term memory is subject of debate. Caffeine intake does seem to improve the performance of short-term and working memory, especially in terms of shortening the reaction time. However, the studies are inconsistent. We'll talk a little bit about that and why that happens. So it's difficult to reach a consensus, but if we were to, we would have to say that caffeine's effect on memory depends on its dosage and what kind of memory load you're dealing with. Caffeine's effects have been studied in terms of the auditory system, and caffeinated subjects did worse on auditory tests. Caffeine's effects on working memory were investigated in relationship to the tip of the tongue effect. So they're given a list of words to recall, and how many words can they not quite say, but they're on the tip of the tongue. The coffee did not help at all. Time of day. Short-term memory is thought to be influenced by the time of day and by the time of the day when the caffeine is ingested. People with low caffeine intake normally have a decreased performance later in the day compared to those who have moderate or high-level intakes of caffeine. How about the state-dependent memory? Caffeine users are subject to state-dependent memory effects when they are consuming caffeine. So, 2 groups of subjects had to remember word lists, and then half of them had caffeine while they were doing it, and half of them got a placebo. The next day, each original group was split in half. So half were given the same treatment they were encoded under. In other words, they looked at the word, and they drank coffee, and this time half of them got to drink coffee, but the other half got the opposite treatment. And those who looked at the words that didn't get coffee, they didn't get coffee, but half of them did get coffee. Well, it showed that the subjects that repeated repeated their experience had better memory. It wasn't the coffee, it wasn't the placebo. It was the repeating of the experience. Okay, how about long memory? Caffeine has been shown to have positive, no effect on long-term memory. Oh my goodness. The positive effects of caffeine on long-term memory have been shown when we look at the intake of coffee or tea as opposed to other drinks, and the people are asked to perform cognitive tests. The individuals who have a habitual moderate to high caffeine intake do better on the tests compared to those who have low habitual caffeine intake. Improved performance in long-term memory is shown with increased habitual caffeine intake. So in other words, just drinking a cup of coffee once when you're studying, when you don't habitually drink coffee, probably won't help. So let's look a little bit at what's going on with the studies and why the studies do what seem to be all over the map. This one I thought was quite clear and told us a lot. The participants were given a 200 milligram caffeine tablet after studying images. If we had used a standard recognition memory task with just words instead of tricky similar items, we would have found no effect of the caffeine, says Michael Yassa, assistant professor of psychology and brain science at Johns Hopkins. However, we used items that required the brain to make difficult discriminations, pattern separations, and that was very much enhanced by caffeine. We've always known that caffeine has cognitive enhancing effects, but its particular effects seem to be strengthening memory and making them resistant to forgetting. So we can begin to understand that the results of the tests aren't the same because the tests aren't the same and because not every test really separates out all of the different things that can change your reaction to caffeine. Age differences, you bet. Effects on young adults, effects on middle-aged, and effects on the elderly are actually different. Gender differences, caffeine has been shown to have an impairing effect on females' short-term memory, but not the males. Wondering if estrogen had anything to do with that. And they tested females within the first 5 days of their menstrual cycle. And sure enough, caffeine was great for them. Helped improve their short-term memory. In this same study, male memory at a lower dose impaired their ability to remember things, and at a higher dose, no particular impairment was shown. I'll be right back with more about coffee.
Where can you get more than 700 pages of information? At Susan Weed's website, susanweed.com. There's free monthly e-zines, a weblog, chat room, and email groups. There's even special sections devoted to menopause, breast health, and childbearing. Check out the forum of wise women who will help answer your herb and health questions. susanweed.com. Check it out. That's SusanWeed.com.
Spend a day with Susan Weed at your house or hers. Bring up to 4 friends and enjoy the day of your dreams. Experience a private weed walk. Learn about wild foods. Harvest and prepare herbal medicine. Try out a shamanic journey. Get a private consultation. Get a review of your health and nutrition. Discover how to regain and maintain optimum health with herbs. Create your perfect day with Susan Weed. For information, log on at ashtreepublishing.com. That's ashtreepublishing.com.
If you like to spend your television viewing time learning about some of the things that you may have missed in history class, or if history was your favorite subject, then you should check out the link to the History Channel on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. Order DVD sets by series or by subject matter right from our homepage while you still enjoy your favorite HealthyLife.net show.
Take a correspondence course with Susan Weed. You'll get individualized attention for your needs, questions, and health problems. The courses come with books, audio, and videotapes, and there's no time limit on finishing. No tests and no lessons to return. Act now and get a 50% discount on any 3 days of classes and workshops with Susan. You'll also receive a ready-to-frame certificate. Check out her courses online at ashtreepublishing.com. That's ashtreepublishing.com.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
So we can see that coffee does have an effect on memory, but that there's a lot of things that go into how you will be affected, how your memory will be affected by coffee. So we find that the time of day, it is actually better to drink coffee early in the morning. You have better performance later in the day. And it is especially good to drink coffee during your middle years. When we look at the effects of caffeine on people aged 15 to 25, we get the most variable and conflicting results. Some of the studies show that coffee is incredibly detrimental to memory for this age group. What we can say is that when we look at the largest subject pools, the long-term regular caffeine consumption was not detrimental to the younger subjects. However, after the age of 25, the pronounced effect of caffeine on memory shows up. And between 25 and 65, the consumption of caffeine aids cognitive performance, so long as you don't drink too much. It's about 3 or 4 cups a day, about 300 milligrams of caffeine. In older adults, memory tends to be best in the morning and to gradually decline over the day. Those who consume caffeine in the morning have better memory, both short-term and long-term, than those who get a placebo. And that memory is especially strengthened in the late afternoon. Adults over the age of 65 who regularly consume caffeine in the morning are much more alert and function at higher cognitive levels throughout the day unless you drink too much and then memory performance declines. There's a real edge there. So, shall we look at some coffee myths? Yeah, here I am talking about how good coffee is, and that's kind of not where I came from. You know, I started studying herbal medicine and alternative health back in the 60s, and basically what I was taught was that coffee was evil, terrible, and that it was taking people down, and the most important thing you could do is get people off their coffee. And one of the things I still hear is that coffee is dehydrating. So I went to the Mayo Clinic site and said, is coffee dehydrating or not? And they said, well, coffee does increase production of urine, And that makes people think that it's a diuretic. And the research suggests that the amount of fluid in the coffee totally balances the diuretic effect of the caffeine. Oh, my goodness. Has anybody ever told you that you have to drink an extra glass of water to make up for the diuretic dehydrating effects of the coffee you drink? I've heard that plenty of times and seen it repeated all over the place. Oh, if you drink coffee, you can't even count that cup of coffee as fluid intake, and you have to make up for it by drinking even more. No, not true, it turns out. This is quite the myth. Then I went to look for studies. No evidence of dehydration with a moderate daily coffee intake. A crossover study in free living population. It is often suggested that coffee causes dehydration and its consumption should be avoided or reduced in terms of maintaining fluid balance. We found that coffee, when consumed in moderation by caffeine-habituated males, is exactly as hydrating as water. 50 male coffee drinkers, they habitually consumed 3 to 6 cups a day, participated in 2 trials, each of which lasted 3 consecutive days. In addition to controlled physical activity, food and fluid intake participants consumed either 4 cups of 200 milliliters of coffee containing caffeine or water. They went over these boys in detail. Urinary hematological hydration markers were recorded daily. What did they find? No significant changes in total body water from beginning to end of either trial. No differences between trials across any hematological markers or in urine volume. One of the trials was coffee. One of the trials was water. The same. The only thing that they found that was different was that when you drank the coffee, you excreted a little more sodium. Hey, that's all to the good. No significant differences in the body mass. No significant differences across a wide range of blood and urinary markers of hydration. Coffee, it turns out, doesn't dehydrate you. You get to count every cup of coffee just as though it were a cup of water. You don't have to drink a quart of water a day. You could drink a quart of coffee a day and be well hydrated. All right, what about coffee being addicted? Coffee is the most commonly used drug in the world and the most commonly consumed psychoactive substance, and it is addictive. It increases metabolism, enhances exercise performance, and boosts the mood. It especially affects the brain, increasing alertness, concentration, and motivation to work. But the amount of caffeine you're going to get in your coffee cup, that's another deal. It can have as little as 30. Apparently, the original coffee plants had hardly any caffeine, or it can come up to 300 milligrams a cup. Your average cup is said to have 100 milligrams of caffeine. It takes about 30 to 60 minutes to really get concentrated in your blood, and those effects then will last 3 to 9 hours. However, it is pretty quickly absorbed by your gut. It doesn't take all that time. And once it gets in your gut, it goes right to your brain. That's why you take a sip of coffee and boing, it's like your brain turns on. It does. There's some pretty interesting chemical stuff going on in your brain, and regular sustained caffeine consumption leads to not just changes in your brain chemistry when you're drinking the coffee, but brain changes all together. Some of them pretty good, some of them not so good. And if you suddenly don't have your coffee, you will certainly notice those changes because you will feel not good at all. I'll be right back to tell you what's happening.
Take
a correspondence course with Susan Weed, you'll get individualized attention for your needs, questions, and health problems. The courses come with books, audio, and videotapes, and there's no time limit on finishing, no tests, and no lessons to return. Act now and get a 50% discount on any 3 days of classes and workshops with Susan. You'll also receive a ready-to-frame certificate. Check out her courses online at ashtreepublishing.com. That's ashtreepublishing.com.
Where can you get more than 700 pages of information? At Susan Weed's website, susanweed.com. There's free monthly e-zines, a weblog, chat room, and email groups. There's even special sections devoted to menopause, breast health, and childbearing. Check out the forum of wise women who will help answer your herb and health questions. SusanWeed.com. Check it out. That's SusanWeed.com.
Spend a day with Susan Weed at your house or hers. Bring up to 4 friends and enjoy the day of your dreams. Experience a private weed walk. Learn about wild foods. Harvest and prepare herbal medicine. Try out a shamanic journey. Get a private consultation. Get a review of your health and nutrition. Discover how to regain and maintain optimum health with herbs. Create your perfect day with Susan Weed. For information, log on at ashtreepublishing.com. That's ashtreepublishing.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret. Now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
Spirit of the plants has come to me in the form of a beautiful dancing green woman.
Yes, indeed. You wake up. The automatic coffee maker has your coffee ready. You stumble into the kitchen. Inhale that aroma. Take a sip and bam, it's quickly absorbed by your gut. It goes right to your brain. And this chemical in that coffee that resembles adenosine. Now, adenosine has a relaxing effect on the central nervous system. Caffeine, however, fits right into the adenosine receptor and blocks it. And then the adenosine in your brain can't bind to the receptor site, and you have no way of knowing that you're tired. Whoa! At the same time that the adenosine receptors are blocked, the coffee and the caffeine stimulates the release of other natural stimulants like dopamine, which further increases alertness and reduces the feeling of tiredness. To put it simply, caffeine just prevents your brain cells from letting you know that you are tired. So you feel alert, you feel well, you feel concentrated, self-confident, and sociable. However, your brain produces more adenosine receptors to compensate for the ones that are being blocked. The brain just doesn't sit still and take this lying down. And those higher amounts of receptors mean you have to drink more coffee to get more caffeine to achieve the same level of alertness. And if you don't, then suddenly you have a lot of free receptors for adenosine, and you are so tired, you can hardly move. You have a headache. You can grump at anybody. And these withdrawal symptoms can occur in as little as 12 hours after the last caffeine dose, which is why so many people really need their caffeine first thing in the morning. These withdrawal symptoms last up to 9 days, and reducing your caffeine intake by as little as 100 milligrams, that's the equivalent of one kind of moderate cup of coffee a day, can cause withdrawal symptoms. Whoa, that's addictive, all right. For most people, however, regular caffeine consumption poses little risk of harm to themselves or society. When we're talking about addictive drugs, we're usually saying, you know, self-harm or social harm. Coffee doesn't do that. And most people don't struggle to control their caffeine intake and feel obsessed about it. Now, it's kind of an unfair comparison because we don't know how people who have drug addictions would be if their drug was like socially acceptable and freely accessible like coffee is. But probably the take-home point here is that with other drugs, you can keep taking more and more. And with coffee, you do need to keep taking more and more, but coffee limits itself. Higher doses of caffeine produce unpleasant sensations, trembling, jitteriness, and you know you've got to cut back. So coffee tends to moderate itself, although my mom, when she quit smoking, replaced every cigarette that she used to smoke with a pot of coffee. I have never seen anyone in the months right after her quitting smoking go through so much coffee. And she said it didn't make her feel wired at all because she didn't have any tobacco, which she very much wanted. Caffeine withdrawal symptoms also are milder than withdrawal for other drugs, and it rarely requires medical intervention to withdraw from caffeine. The American Psychiatric Association recognizes caffeine withdrawal as a clinical condition, but not caffeine addiction. But the World Health Organization does officially recognize caffeine as an addictive substance. All right. In addition to memory, does caffeine have any other good effects? A ton. So we've been talking about improved brain function, including better mood, better reaction time, better attention, better learning, better general mental functioning, better alertness, better short-term recall, probably better long-term memory. Certainly memory is being more resistant to being forgotten, and a 65% lowered risk of getting Alzheimer's and a 29% lowered risk of getting Parkinson's. And these are for people who drink coffee habitually. We're talking about at least 3 cups a day. Coffee can also boost your metabolism. We know that. Boost your metabolism by up to 11% and fat burning by up to 13%. Coffee makes you want to work harder, makes you want to exercise more, increases your tolerance to fatigue. Yeah, right, the adenosine can't even tell you you're tired. It improves your exercise performance, and it makes workouts just feel a lot easier. Not only that, coffee protects against heart disease and diabetes. Oh, such good news! Coffee has a beneficial effect on the entire central nervous system, and it helps the body to release and deal with free fatty acids from adipose tissue. So if somebody says, wow, coffee can help you lose weight, in certain circumstances, coffee certainly can help you lose weight. So drink up your coffee if you want to. You don't have to drink more water. It's not dehydrating. It is addictive, but it seems to be a kind of beneficial addiction. Association between caffeine consumption, cognitive decline, and dementia. A systematic review. Epidemiological studies have proved inconclusive when it comes to the protective effect of caffeine consumption on the risk of dementia and cognitive decline. So we want to summarize the literature. And we identified 61 studies that were done between 1990 and 2020. About 28% of those studies, which had about 40,000 people in them, reported positive outcomes. And about 53% of the studies, which had about 71,000 people in them, showed positive results that were dependent on the particular study. The caffeine positive effects were more often seen when the dosage did not exceed 400 milligrams a day, and that could be coffee or green tea. 4 studies that evaluated the relationship between caffeine consumption and cognitive function in impaired individuals found that it restored positive outcomes. In conclusion, caffeine consumption in moderate quantities through coffee or green tea, and especially for women, reduces the risk of dementia. dementia and cognitive decline and may ameliorate cognitive decline in those who are already cognitively impaired.
Take a correspondence course with Susan Weed. You'll get individualized attention for your needs, questions, and health problems. The courses come with books, audio, and videotapes, and there's no time limit on finishing. No tests and no lessons to return. Act now and get a 50% discount on any 3 days of classes and workshops with Susan. You'll also receive a ready-to-frame certificate. Check out her courses online at ashtreepublishing.com. That's ashtreepublishing.com.
Where can you get more than 700 pages of information? At Susan Weed's website, susanweed.com. There's free monthly e-zines, a weblog, chat room, and email groups. There's even special sections devoted to menopause, breast health, and childbearing. Check out the forum of wise women who will help answer your herb and health questions. susanweed.com. Check it out. That's SusanWeed.com.
Spend a day with Susan Weed at your house or hers. Bring up to 4 friends and enjoy the day of your dreams. Experience a private weed walk. Learn about wild foods. Harvest and prepare herbal medicine. Try out a shamanic journey. Get a private consultation. Get a review of your health and nutrition. Discover how to regain and maintain optimum health with herbs. Create your perfect day with Susan Weed. For information, log on at ashtreepublishing.com. That's ashtreepublishing.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret. Now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
Wow, we're really getting down on these studies. Higher coffee consumption associated with slower cognitive decline and less B amyloid accumulation. This was a long study. This study ran for 126 months. That's 10 and a half years. They had 227 cognitively normal older adults from Australia that they studied for 10 and a half years, and higher baseline coffee consumption was associated strongly with slower cognitive decline, better attention, and a lower likelihood of transitioning to mild cognitive impairment. The higher baseline coffee consumption was also associated with much less amyloid plaque accumulation over the 10 and a half years, and a much lower risk of progressing to moderate, high, or very high burden. There were no associations between coffee intake and the total amount of gray matter, white matter, or hippocampal volume. Conclusions: coffee intake is a protective factor against Alzheimer's disease. And from the Journal of Alzheimer's, caffeine as a protective factor in dementia and Alzheimer's disease. The findings of studies are somewhat inconsistent, but in 3 out of 5 studies, coffee's favorable effects against cognitive decline, dementia, and Alzheimer's are strong. In addition, 2 studies where coffee and tea drinking were looked at, positive effects on cognitive functioning were found. Coffee drinking, especially 3 to 5 cups per day at midlife, is associated with a 65% decrease in risk of dementia in later life. We propose that drinking coffee be looked at as preventative for dementia and Alzheimer's. Whew, all right. Well, you know, I've been using coffee and caffeine a little interchangeably. Here we have a study that also looked at tea, and I've also mentioned that it's in other things. 5 ounces of cola soda, which contains caffeine, will have about 25 milligrams. A 5-ounce cup of black or green tea has about 90 milligrams. 5-ounce cup of coffee can have up to 150 milligrams. Cold brew coffee can have more. Red Bull is about 80 milligrams. V8 Energy, 80 milligrams. No Dose is 100 plus milligrams. Energy drinks average out at about 100 milligrams. Some of them, like Monster, are 140 milligrams. Spike, the highest energy drink, has 175 milligrams. Over-the-counter diuretics have 100 milligrams of caffeine. And many other over-the-counter drugs like Midol, Alka-Seltzer, and Sudafed contain significant amounts of caffeine. It's also worth noting that energy drinks will also include other stimulants in addition to caffeine, which have not been studied the same way that caffeine has been studied. So they're not recommended as a way to get your caffeine. Here's what I would say. And we're going to look at this Lancet study. And remember that those factors didn't include coffee drinking. I don't generally drink coffee. It's not worth it for me to pick up a coffee habit at this point in my life. So if you do generally drink coffee, please continue to drink coffee. It's probably doing you a world of good. And if you don't worry about it. There's lots of other things that we can do. There's a commission that the Lancet set up to look at modifiable factors to reduce dementia. And this commission has said that half of all dementia cases are probably preventable in early life. Having good quality education confers a 5% lowered risk. Then as we get into our adulthood, when we're over 20, there are a number of factors. If we suffer from depression, we are going to increase our risk by 3%. If we have a traumatic brain injury, it will increase our risk by 3%. If we're physically inactive, increase our risk by 2%. If we have diabetes, increases our risk by 2%. If we smoke, increases our risk by 2%. If we have hypertension, increases our risk by 2%. Obesity increases our risk by 1%. Excessive alcohol consumption increases our risk by 1%. But the real stunner is that hearing loss increases your risk by 7%. Untreated hearing loss. In other words, not being able to hear increases your risk of dementia more than just about all those other things put together. Once we get into later life, which is being defined as over 65, we have three factors that are quite important. The first is social isolation. A 5% increased risk for feeling socially isolated. Volunteer. Become friends with somebody younger who gets you out of the house. Get yourself unisolated, even if it means joining a chat group or some kind of group online. That works too. Air pollution. Not a lot you can do. You can get a filter in your house. You can move to a place where the air quality is better. Will increase your risk of dementia by 3%. This is partly why poor people and people of color who tend to live in places where there's worse air pollution are much more likely to have to deal with dementia. And untreated vision loss is going to increase your risk of dementia by 2%. Vision loss increased the risk of dementia by a statistically adjusted average of 47%. Cataracts and diabetic neuropathy were significantly associated with eventual dementia. Age-related macular degeneration and glaucoma are not. People whose cataracts were extracted showed a 29% reduction in their dementia risk. Wow. I guess We better wrap up another show here at HealthyLife.net. Keeping our memory strong and our minds sharp. Thank you so much for being here with me, for opening your mind and your ears and your heart to me, and to the wise woman way of healing through nourishment and loving kindness. This is Susan Weed, the voice of the wise woman tradition, wishing you green blessings until we meet again next month at HealthyLife.net.
Take a correspondence course with Susan Weed. You'll get individualized attention for your needs, questions, and health problems. The courses come with books, audio, and videotapes, and there's no time limit on finishing. No tests and no lessons to return. Act now and get a 50% discount on any 3 days of classes and workshops with Susan. You'll also receive a ready-to-frame certificate. Check out her courses online at ashtreepublishing.com. That's ashtreepublishing.com.
Where can you get more than 700 pages of information? At Susan Weed's website, susanweed.com. There's free monthly e-zines, a weblog, chat room, and email groups. There's even special sections devoted to menopause, breast health, and childbearing. Check out the forum of wise women who will help answer your herb and health questions. susanweed.com. Check it out. That's SusanWeed.com.
Spend a day with Susan Weed at your house or hers. Bring up to 4 friends and enjoy the day of your dreams. Experience a private weed walk. Learn about wild foods. Harvest and prepare herbal medicine. Try out a shamanic journey. Get a private consultation. Get a review of your health and nutrition. Discover how to regain and maintain optimum health with herbs. Create your perfect day with Susan Weed. For information, log on at ashtreepublishing.com. That's ashtreepublishing.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.